Okay, girls. This is exciting. We're big girls today. We're actually having the Bible study here, the women's Bible study, and we've got a real important treat today. And TK Riddle is going to share her testimony along with whoever else would like to share their testimony after TK. But before we get started, Edie, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity to meet together today and just to share our hearts with each other so that we'll know that we're not in this pilgrimage alone, so that we'll know that when we look at other Christians and think they're so spiritual and so everything, that and we look at ourselves and compare ourselves and we think, oh God, how can I ever be there? How can I ever be where this person is? It's just, that's not your will, because you just want us to look at your face, and by that we are changed from glory to glory. And we just thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you would bless TK and help give her peace and just help her to open up and share what you would have her to share, and everybody else, anyone else who wants to share today. I pray that the words of the Lord will be spoken today, and we will all receive what you would have us to receive today, that we can take with us for this week and for even the rest of our lives. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And they will be spoken. And Lord, I just pray that peace that passes all understanding ever comes, TK, and that she'll just know that we're all her sisters, that we're here to encourage her, and we love her. And she's our sister and our friend, and we're just sitting here in a little quorum having a discussion. Yes. And I just pray for your peace in Jesus' name. And I know your words will come forth in Jesus' name.
I want to pray also and say, Heavenly Father, I just come before your throne of grace right now. And I just come against the spirit of timidity. And I just stand before your throne boldly. And I want to proclaim boldly this message of salvation and restoration.
Amen.
And I want to speak of your precious Son, and I just want your boldness. And my verse that you've given me all along is, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I am so grateful, Father, that I can claim these things and know that they're true. The verse I want to start with is 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I chose that verse to tell you of my transition, my transformation from the kingdom of this world, which is dying, into the kingdom of God, which is eternal. This is my love song to my beloved. This is my testimony of being dead in the world and made alive by my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. God loves me. He chose me. He called me out. I am a love gift to His precious Son. He loved me first, and He is teaching me to love Him, to love myself, and to love you, all of you. In the Song of Solomon 2:2, Jesus calls me His darling, His chosen. A lily among thorns, so is my darling among the daughters. In Hosea 14:5, He says that the lily shall grow and cast forth his roots like Lebanon. The Amplified says, as the sturdy evergreens of Lebanon. I am in His eyes as pure and beautiful as a lily, and as strong because I have His strength. I'm as strong as the roots of the evergreen tree. I never dreamed I could say these things, because in myself I've been so weak. And in that, I think that's where God can use us, where we're weakest. And for me, I've been weakest in my mind. I've really battled with depression. And I can tell you, He overcame it, and He's overcoming, in my life, depression for me. He has promised me a sound mind, and also He's promised me His mind. And I'm walking each day on those promises. I guess I'll tell you first about my salvation. I was saved at 24. I can barely look up and see y'all, so I might just look down the whole time. At 24, I was saved. I wasn't even looking for God at that point, but He was looking for me, and He called me out. And I was an art director in an advertising agency downtown Fort Worth. And I was sitting in a room full of other art directors, and we were all just worldly and bad. And for some reason, in walked a very godly, quiet Christian man that was a paper salesman. And out of the whole room, he walked over to my desk, and he looked at me, and he said, "TK, the way you're living, you're going to go to hell. And but I want to let you know that Jesus loves you." And I couldn't believe it. I was so insulted that he picked me out of this room full of heathens. We were all heathens, but he came up to me and said those words. And I hated him. I just was so offended. I was like, "How dare you say that to me?" And I didn't like him. And but I learned to love him, because I learned that he loved me enough that he told me those words. And what's amazing is that God put those words in him, and he said he had never, ever been so direct with a person before, and he probably never would be again. But God knew what I needed to hear, and he used that vessel that day to come tell me how much he loved me. About a month later, I wasn't looking for God, and I got a phone call from some friends that were actually having marital problems, and I was married at that time, but getting out of a marriage. And this couple called me and said, "We're going for one full week to a seminar in Dallas to hear about Jesus." And of course, I just thought, "Well, that's crazy. That's not anything I want to do." And before I hung the phone up, I said, to my surprise, "Yes, I'll go. I'll go with y'all." So we got in the car and each day drove off to Dallas to a Bill Gothard seminar, where for the first time in my life, I heard about a Jesus that was alive and that could live in me. And I think it was on the second day of that seminar, I surrendered and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And it was so amazing. I ran home to tell my family of this great new love I had and what I'd discovered, that there was a living God that could live in me. I'm sorry, it's so amazing.
It is.
And I had a love affair with him for many years, where I was really pursuing God. I found a great church in Houston. I went to the First Baptist Church in Houston and got involved in it, and met some wonderful Christians. And I grew and grew. And then I left Houston and moved back to Fort Worth, and I found myself getting back in the world. And I stayed there for about 25 years. And in that 25 years, I think of falling away, you know, I was up and down, in and out of churches, in and out of the Word, but nothing consistent. And in that time, I found that my depression just was overwhelming. I was out of the safety of the hand of my Father, and I was left to myself, which has always been my worst enemy. Self, sin, and Satan, those are our three enemies. And I don't even know where to... I don't want to get into all the details of that, other than to say that for some reason, God kept me. And before the healing began, though, He actually let me go out into the wilderness. He let me go to a darker darker place than where I even was, and I'm so grateful. He took me to a very, very low place, and it was there that he started restoring me. I understand what Pastor Jim is trying to say when he talks about our trials and tribulations being something to be rejoiceful about and thanksgiving, to thank the Lord for these things when they come. I won't go into the details of the wilderness experience, but I have to say that before I got there, about a month before I got there, maybe it was 2 months, I've lost track of time and it doesn't really matter, but I was out in my garden one day and I had been seeking God again, seriously seeking Him. And I was out in my garden digging, and I can honestly tell you I heard a voice as clear as any voice I've ever heard. And it said, 3 times, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. And I looked up as if to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I don't know what this means, but I hear you. And from that day forward, things rapidly changed for us. Our house, which wasn't even for sale, I was in my garden one day in the front yard, and a family drove by 3 times, and I yelled at them as they drove by, are you looking for a house? And they said, yes, we need a house in 2 weeks. And I said, well, come see this one, I think it's for sale. And they bought it. And we had to move in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so that's when God moved us to the wilderness, to a little farmhouse on some acreage, a little fallen down farmhouse, into a little tiny town of 300. And amazing things happened there. Amazing because God revealed some things in me that had to be revealed before He could start rebuilding. And one of them was pride. I crawled out of that town when I left, but from the things that happened in such a tiny little lowly spot. But God didn't take me to New York City. He took me to a low little place to show me things that needed to be changed. And as I left that town, I was very grateful that God allowed me to leave there, because there I really did begin to understand death. I saw death in many, many forms and shapes, but most of all, the beginning of the death to self that had ruled me all these years, even as a Christian. Self was on the throne. And self can't be on the throne. It can only be God. He allowed so many things to die in me, beginning to die there. And the flesh started coming off, and it was painful, and I was fighting it. But I finally learned to get on my face before God and be in a spot where no one else could help me. No one. No one but God. And that is the most cherished place in the world to be. While I was in that low spot in my life, I was having lots of depression. I was going through depression for many reasons. For sin, for organic reasons, I was going through a change of life. So many reasons were giving me depression. But I can tell you that I don't have to be a slave to that or the world. I'm a slave to Christ now. And He is my healing balm. He is my oil of gladness. He is what is restoring my mind. Mm-hmm. He is helping me to overcome. Mm-hmm. I did first go to everything I could that the world had to offer. Throughout my life, I've been to psychiatrists, Christian counseling. They tried lithium on me for a brief time. It was violent in me because it was wrong. I didn't need it. Hypnotists. And then I ended up on antidepressants, 2 different ones that were devastating. One actually briefly helped me, but the side effects were horrendous, and they were destroying me. And finally, the good Lord allowed me to take a medicine, and I won't name it, but it was an antidepressant, that was truly poison in my body. And I finally went to the doctor one day and I said, please help me to get off this. And I wrote down what I said. I probably can't find it. I wrote down, when I went to the doctor and said, please help me to get off this. And I went home and I started my journal of getting off this medicine and getting into God. And I said in my journal, something to this effect, I can't find my notes. I said, God, I no longer want my mind to be controlled by the pharmacist. I'm giving my mind back to you. You are in control of my mind because you gave me the promise, you gave me your word, that you would give me a sound mind. I believed those words. I took him at his word. I believed him. And I believed that I no longer had to be a slave to the pharmacies and the world. And it was not easy. It took me 6 months to almost a year of getting off the medication and getting my life back. But in that time, I learned some valuable things. I learned what, it, in fact, the world doesn't want us to know. And for Christians, I can tell you that we can live on the Word of God. It's our manna. It's our bread. It's our everything. God's Word will heal us. I wash my mind in His Word daily. It's healing my mind. I'm overcoming the darkness. I don't need the world. And that day that I left the doctor and started my journey, I turned my back on the world and everything the world has to offer when it comes to healing my mind. You know, I still take a thyroid pill, but for some reason God gave me the courage and the words to fall back on, to believe, to live by, that said that my mind was His and He would restore it and He would heal it and He would make me well. What I do now, what I did was first repented of every sin that I could think of. And that should keep us on our face. Daily, we need to repent. Daily, there is something to repent of. Daily, we need to rejoice in Him. Daily, we need to thank Him. These are things that heal our mind. But daily, I have to spend time in His Word. And I'm going on 3 years now of daily washing my mind with His Word. Filling my mind and my heart with His Word. I read His Word. I read Oswald Chambers' devotional. I read Streams in the Desert. I read the Psalms. And I've just recently started reading Deuteronomy every day. And I have to do that. I'm lucky. I'm blessed. Not lucky. I'm blessed because I'm wise to the schemes of the devil. And it was through this depression that the devil was trying to destroy me that I got wise to him. And I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to destroy all of our minds. The battle is for our minds. He wants all of us to have distorted minds. But I must say, I'm fortunate enough that I got low enough that I reached out, I called out for Him that is the healer, the balm for my mind, the oil of gladness. And He is what I live on, His words. I feel fortunate that I got so low that I could only call out to Him. The world needs to know that they need this too. It's not just me. It's not just for those that have been in the lowest spot possible, in the darkest pit. I had days that were so dark, but He was there. He was right there. And the best place you can be is alone with Him, because He'll lift us up. I have to guard my heart and my mind ferociously. I can't do what other people do. This is what is healing for me. I'm learning over the past 6 months, I cannot watch TV. I occasionally turn it on. I watch old movies, but I can't do what other people do. I cannot constantly be saturating myself with TV. I have to guard my heart and my mind ferociously from movies. I can't go see every movie that everybody else is seeing. I have to guard my heart and my mind ferociously from these things. I can't walk past magazine stands like I used to and want to grab every magazine like I used to. Those things I can't take in anymore. They hurt my mind. They make me covet. They make me lust. They make me want to be like those people in those magazines. I don't want that anymore. I'm not interested in their image anymore. I'm interested in one image only. That is the image of Christ. That is the image I'm interested in. That is the name I'm interested in. That is the name that is above all names. His name is worthy to be praised. And that's the name that if we stay focused on, He will heal us. He will heal our minds. It's a glorious thing to be where you only want Him. The world does grow dimmer as we behold Him. In beholding Him, we are changed. We are transformed. Our minds are renewed. That is glorious news. We don't have to rely on this world. He is moving us out of this world into His kingdom. And we can't take the things of the world with us into His kingdom. And the sooner we know that, the better. The freer we will be when we know these things. There are no pills for our mind in the kingdom of God. And I'm living in that kingdom now. That kingdom is within me. And that's the kingdom that I want to grow. And that's the kingdom I want to proclaim. And that is a kingdom that is real. The one that's within us and the one that's coming. This other world, I promise you, is a lie. It's pretense, it's pretending, it's illusion. And we believe it, but it's a lie. Quit looking to Hollywood. Quit looking to the world. Quit looking at TV. Put those magazines down. Focus on God. That is what we are to do. That is our beloved. He is the one we love. He is our focus. I'm telling you, these are the things that will heal your mind. God is healing me. I daily have to deny myself. I daily have to spend time in the Word. And I daily love Him. He loved me first. I don't understand that, but He did. I wasn't worthy, but He did. He loved me. He's teaching me to love Him. He's teaching me to love me. And He's teaching me to love my Christian brothers and sisters and the world. And that is what I want to know. That is where I want to live. And that is my testimony. And I just have to praise and thank Jesus for where He's taking me, what He pulled me out of. And that's my story.
Amen.
Wow.
And I couldn't look up.
Okay.
Let me tell you something, TK. I knew that your testimony was going to be powerful, but I did not know how powerful. And that was, it was perfect. Because, you talked about those pills that people take.
Yes.
For the labels of depression and the labels of bipolar and the labels of schizophrenia. And I sold those pills. I made my living on those pills, and I knew that it was wrong, and I've come out of that world, and that world will identify you. It'll give you a label, and it'll say you're depressed, and you cannot recover from this. You must take these medications all of your life. There's no hope without the medicine. And so, I didn't know today, when I asked you to do your testimony, how it was going to touch my heart and confirm in my heart that what I had made my living at for years and years and years was wrong.
Wow.
It was very wrong. And so what's so exciting about this testimony today is so many people Because you're right, the battlefield, the last battle is the mind. Mm-hmm. The last battle is the mind. And there are so many people in this world, this country alone, not only the country, but the world, almost everyone is on an antidepressant. Mm-hmm. And we're not condemning people for being on them. No. Sometimes those medications can help you get to the point to where you can get free. But, you know, Satan, what we're dealing with right now is the high places where Satan's kingdom is. And that kingdom is in line to your mind. And so we're in the job of tearing down that high place.
Yes.
And your testimony today is going to go out and heal a lot of people. So in healing yourself, you're actually, you know, giving freedom to a lot of people. So I thank you so much for sharing that. That was great.
You know, TK, to what you said and to what Jim says, I had lunch with Cherry Watson after church Sunday, and she said something really neat, and it just brought to mind something really neat in my mind, and we put it together, and I was like, wow. She said that she had heard that it was in the garden that Eve was seduced by Satan. She was just seduced and deceived. And then it just hit me. And it's his voice, the one crying to us in our wilderness. Mm. So the wilderness are good places for us.
Oh, right.
Even though our flesh fights it, like you say, all the way. But they are the better places for us.
Amen.
For being here.
Wow.
I was listening to Perry Stone, and he had sought God about the prince of the power of the air that was over the U.S., and he thought it was drugs. And the reason why is he went back to the Indians and the stuff that they participated in, the drugs they used. So it's interesting.
Yeah, really.
And of course, we see it everywhere.
And drugs,
illegal.
And drugs break down all your... Well, it breaks down all your walls, and the enemy just comes in and with everything.
I think even the world is getting that picture. I mean, because yesterday on a bus, a city bus, I saw this, you know how they're plastered with these graphics? On a bus, it showed this picture of this woman, beautiful woman, and she said, I'm a woman, I'm a mother, I'm an artist, I'm not my mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I was going, oh my gosh. You know, that was just powerful to me.
And it is. That's amazing. It really is.
Even on the bus, you know, even the world has that, you know, knows that people are in trouble, you know.
Well, you know, when you talked about drugs and that they help, well, if you're not turning to God in the way the world is today, you got to turn to something to make it, because it's just too much pressure on the mind. They snap.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. You either turn to God or the things of the world.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, that verse that always registers with me is, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so, TK, I know it took a lot of courage for you to do that today.
And terrifying.
It is terrifying.
I couldn't even look at it.
It was awesome.
But I had to speak, because I have to speak for him. And I want to be bold for him.
That is one thing that I am so encouraged and blessed by TK, because she does speak for God. She speaks for Jesus in her family and in her world around her. She's zealous, and it's a great encouragement to me to see TK in the last few years. It's just blown up. She's so strong.
But it's him.
Yeah.
It's him.
And
he's the one that strengthens us.
Yeah. That's true. And, you know, a lot of times there was a friend of mine that was saying something, and she was complimenting to me. And I said, you know, I don't know what to do with compliments. And you know what she said to me? She said, Dolores, I'm not complimenting you. I'm complimenting Christ in you. So when we look at it like that, those are where those compliments are coming. And that's what we're seeing in TK, is Christ in her, the hope of glory. And he's in every single one of us today. So what I was going to say, you know, this is just a beginning. And I think, you know, like I said Sunday at my testimony, is what greater gift can we give Jim and David, our pastors, is to watch us grow up. And to watch us begin to encourage each other and begin to be bold and begin to overcome that timidity and give our testimonies. You know, Joyce gave her testimony last week, and you know, each and every one of us have a testimony that can bless each other and that can edify each other. And whatever it is that the difficulty is that you've gone through, the hard time, that's the part that is so valuable for you to share so you can bless somebody else, because somebody else may be sitting in this audience right now and suffering from the same thing and not knowing where to go, not feeling like there's any hope at all. So it's 11:15. I'd like to see if anyone else would love to be courageous and come and share their testimony. You'll be blessed. And you know, the other thing too, and TK and I have talked about this as well as Debbie and Joyce, is a lot of times when we get up and we testify in, you know, church on Sunday, or we testify, immediately after you sit down comes that counterattack that says, "You are so stupid. How could you get up and say that?" And then all you want to do is just kind of slink out the back door, you know, hope that nobody talks to you, nobody says something. But have you ever, after you've had that testimony, somebody came up to you and said, "You have no idea how what you said made a difference to me." So as you're sitting back there in your seat, please, you know, if the Lord is urging you, if you feel like it's just yourself, because a lot of times I do things and I think, you know, that was just you, Dolores, that wasn't the Lord. But it'll bless you, it'll encourage you, it'll give you strength. And we've got about 45 more minutes that we need to fill up. So somebody come up here and take the hot seat. Ada, that's not fair.
That's a good one.
So who wants to be blessed? And you need to come sit up here with me so we can get it, you know, get it on tape pretty well.
It's not really that bad.
It's not. It feels good up here because Jesus is right up here with you, and he's saying, "You go, girl."
Eventually, he'll let me look up when he's speaking.
Yeah, like right now.
I could say something, but my language is very bad.
And your language is very good.
It's very bad.
Please, yeah. Please come sit in the seat.
Excuse me, you don't understand, let me know.
We will understand you.
Because I learned English in school. I came here, I'm still learning, and I still got the accent. So you're going to excuse me for my accent. If you don't understand, let me know.
I love your accent.
Oh, it's terrible. I have to tell you, my grandfather was the first Protestant converted in Ecuador. So I was raised in Christian home, because I don't want to say the Catholics are Christian like we are, because we believe in Christ. That's the Christianity. But they got the way to worship with a different way, like, you know. So I feel like I was, in a way, Ecuador is a Catholic country. It's few Protestant or evangelicals, we call over there. So I was okay for one side. Maybe my way of being, people liked me, you know, in the school, in college, and in my life. But still, I got this feeling inside of me. So when I married, my husband is German. We moved over here in 57. And here we go again. I got the accent. And I feel I was laid out because my accent. And I don't want to open my mouth. Mm. And, I was in a Christian home, in a Presbyterian church. Very nice. With my kids was going to church. We were very good, strong Christians. And my mother, I'm the only child. My daughter going to get married, and I want my mother to come over. So she came, stay with us. And because we live in the country, in Greenville, Tennessee, we live in the country. My husband likes the country. I was raised in a city. So I was a city lady. He wants to grow harvest, you know. I don't know how to be weeds with the plants, because I don't know the difference. So you can imagine. But it was good for the kids. I said, well, let's do it. But I live far away from the city, so I get involved in so many meetings, or ladies' meetings. So I went in one meeting, I was involved in different meetings. And when my daughter was married, she's my baby. I got two boys and a girl. My mother was here, she left. My daughter married, and she went to Virginia. So my two sons was in college. And I feel like I was
laid off. I don't have nobody else to take care. And I feel like I was getting down. My mother left, and suddenly I don't want to go anyplace. I want to stay home. I want to stay home. And my husband worked next to the house. He got his place. And he said, go. I said, no, you take care. I stay here. Slowly, I went down in my feelings. And I didn't want to get out of bed.
Mm.
So that was getting bad. So my husband, you know, I tried to think, put myself like a different person to see what kind of person I am. So finally my husband said, you better get out of here, go. And he pushed me out of the door with my car. So I was thinking, I did so many meditations over myself, but I was driving and I didn't know I was driving. This is very, very strange for me. And I was starting thinking like a person. I was driving and I'm thinking about, I saw myself like a different, a person far away. I don't speak English, I'm not this one, I'm not the other one, I'm not the other one. And suddenly, I felt so down. And I think, I realized later, I was crying. And I say in, because I remember my voice say, but who's going to love me? You know, I was really down. And I was driving. And the Lord say to me, really, believe me, it's true. The Lord say in this year, in a nice, kind, knowing voice that I, somebody I knew, I don't know how to explain it, but I love you. I wake up, it's like like you got a curtain, and suddenly open the curtain, and I realized I was driving.
Wow.
I didn't realize. I say, oh Lord, I say, if you love me, that's all it counts. And until this moment, that's all that keep me going. The love of God.
Mm.
The love of God.
Wow.
Right now I got a big problem in my home with my mother. She's in a nursing home. And I want to bring her over here many years ago. I'm living here almost 50 years. No, 50 years already. And she didn't want to come. I was the only child. She remarried. Her husband don't like me. Well, I never live with her. I live with my grandparents. And she didn't want to come. So the last time when she wants to come in 72, so I went to the immigration and I say, I'm, you know, an immigrant from Ecuador, live here in America. So she said, if you are a citizen, you can bring your mother. So 3 months later, I was a citizen. And I say, mother, come up. No, I don't want to go. So that was the end. And now she's 96. And for the last 20 years, she lived, you know, in 78, she went to this nursing home because she's alone. And I could not bring her over here because it's too expensive to bring her over here. I could not afford, you know. So I paid for her to stay over there. She got a nice suite. It was okay. But lately, she's getting old, and it was nothing. She went in a coma, and I had to go over there and see. She cannot go back to her home, her house, her room. So she lives in a semi-private room with other ladies, and she got an extra nurse for her to take care of, beside the nurses in the room, but one for her. And this nursing home is more room, the state, part of the state.
Okay.
But the nuns run in this organization, everything has to be right and good. So my when she was in the, she got her suite, the nuns came and she told her, you know, say, oh, you are a bunch of liars, my mother said to the nuns. Oh my God, you know, when I went over there and I said, but your mother don't believe in, she told me, you know, that we are a bunch of liars and all this. My goodness, what can I say? She has to live there. I cannot take her here. So I was like, what I'm going to say, like I say, I don't talk. The Lord talked through me. And I say, You believe in Christ? Yes. You believe in God? Yes. So we are Christians because we believe in the same Christ. You worship one way, we worship the other one. But we are Christians. Ah, okay. So they took my mother and she, like I say, they had to move her to the part of the semi-private. So I had to get somebody to help her, to take care of the business, you know, the money situation, because she cannot go to the bank and all these things. So I have a friend. I know him from 12 years old. And I figure I don't have no sisters. The cousins I got, they are few, and they got their own mother to take care. So I don't have nobody to rely. So I give it to my friend. I say, you be the power of attorney and take care of my mother. She did for 20 years. And lately, slowly, I get to find out that she was a little different. Well, I didn't realize I was so trusted in her. What I'm going to say, she's Catholic. Well, but our meetings have nothing to do because we are Christians. You know, this is, I don't have a specification between you are Catholic, you are Protestant, you are, no. We are in Christ, we are together. We are a family in Christ. So I gave it to her some money. I mean, I sent her from here some money, extra money, to take care of my mother. So I say, in case she needs something, here it is. For 15 years, I send some money every month. Well, four years ago when I was over there, I went to see my mother. I stayed in her house, and she took me, we go here, we go there. She guided me, and I said, well, it's okay, because she take care of my mother, that's okay. And we went to visit my mother, and let's go, you know. Okay. I say, she take care of my mother. And when I was over there and I was saying goodbye to my mother, like I said, four or five years ago, I went on my knees in front of her because she's in a wheelchair, she cannot walk anymore. And I say, mother, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about nothing going to happen. You always will protect, taking care. And she looked to me, my mother, with a hateful eyes. He looked at me and said, it's your obligation. I could not answer because so many people over there, Catholics, nuns over there. So I get up and left. And I cry. And I told my friend, and she didn't answer, okay? But the next day I fly over here and I was crying most of the time because my mother treated me bad. And I didn't know why. Well, time passed. And slowly, the nun made me understand that something is wrong. So when I went over there last year, I got a hard time finding out. My dear friend, my supposed to be dear friend, she was taking the money for herself, don't take care of my mother, and she was telling my mother all the bad thing about me. So, can you imagine, I went last September to see and I find out a lot of stuff. So when I came back, I was distressed, very distressed. I got a high blood pressure, cholesterol and all this stuff. But with this, I could not even walk. I was so dizzy, I can hardly walk. The day I flew over here, the friend I stayed, she saw me, I could not even walk straight, I was dizzy all the time. And I don't remember what I was doing. In a few minutes, I was really like I lost conscious of what I was doing, what I was standing. So she, you know, when she took me to the airport, she said, you have to get a wheelchair. Wheelchair? But she pushed me. So I thank her, and I thank her. Because from Miami to here, changing planes and pushing a suitcase, go to immigration, this lady take care of me. So it was an angel in my opinion. So I came home, I still got my problem, but I said, I'm going to work myself. But I get to the point, for three or four times in my house, I lost conscious of what I was doing. I didn't come too much in this Bible class because I didn't feel like driving. And so I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me, you know, I got all this stress, and she gave me medicine for my dizziness because of part of the stress, and he gave me something for the nerves. I slept all day, all night. Mm. So this is not good. So I said, no, I have to put myself together. So that's what I did. And I don't know how, but the Lord gave me the strength that now I feel everything will be okay. My mother is over there. I got my another relative to watch over her. She's more alive, more herself, but she's 96. And I don't know. I got a problem now. I have to go over there to talk to her, to have peace with me. My mother and I have to have peace, so she knows I love her. But it's a long way to go. I don't know where to go and everything. So I need help. Pray for me because the Lord has to guide me. Where do I have to go in this case? And the only thing I can say is her health. She doesn't have no cholesterol, no high blood pressure. She's healthy, but she's old. She cannot walk. So please, this is all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, the real Oprah's here.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, who's next?
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so
too. Amen. I didn't hear the prayer.
Yeah.
What are we praying for?
I need prayer. That's all I need.
You need prayer.
Okay, right.
All right. Lord.
For my how to take care of my mother situation
now. How to take care of your mother?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't know if I have to go back or to stay.
Right.
Like I told you. I don't want her to feel that I don't love her.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I have to make her understand. And now they're trying to do my, even the nun, trying to help
me. Amen.
So well, listen. Going to be faithful.
Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for Gladys. We thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful with our parents. I desire, Lord God, you've commanded us to honor our parents, our father and our mother. And we thank you, Lord God, that as our heart is to honor them, you give us wisdom as to how to proceed. And so, Father, we thank you that as our heart is following after you, our hands and our feet begin to follow after you. And so we rejoice, O Lord God, right now for the wisdom that comes as we just praise you, as we come before your throne, not as we worry and not as we get distressed over circumstances which seem beyond our hand. They seem beyond, it's across the world. But I thank you, Lord, that you have wisdom that we know not of. That even as Jesus says, I have manna, things that you know not of that I have and I will give to you. So we thank you for that and we receive it by faith right now. Thank you, Gladys. She's just open and ready as she's saying, Jesus, thank you that you've loved me. Thank you that you love my mother and that you will walk with me through this as you walked me through many things. And we worship you and we thank you for it because we trust you, Father, because you love us. In Jesus. And you love her mom more than she does. And I just thank you, Lord God, that this is coming to pass for her now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's good to rest. Amen. Even when we don't know what to do. We're praying for Barbara Cravens over in Dallas. She's our piano player. Some of you, I don't know if you know Barbara. She also is a counselor for Exchange Life Ministries. She worked with Chad quite a bit. And she had radical mastectomy back in 2004. And then last November, had her knees replaced, both knees replaced. And now she is back over at Baylor, unrelated to anything, to the knees and what all, which just took place. That her legs are almost paralyzed, her back had some herniated discs, and now there is some kind of a growth within the membrane surrounding the spine that the doctors have done a spinal tap test on the fluid, and there's either a viral infection bacterial infection, or that same cancer that was the breast cancer has mutated, or whatever they do. And so we're just trusting God for a miracle right now, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. And these are the people who pray, who are right here in this room today. And we just thank God right now for Barbara Craven's complete, total deliverance. She is a woman of God. She is the love of Jesus Christ flows out of her, ministers to many. Now, God can do what He wants to do, obviously. But we know in His Word that He healed those whom He came to, those who came to Him. And so we're believing God right now just that the enemy does not have a hand. He can have no say in this, no hand in this. So we just thank, let's just join together and just pray for Barbara. Red Joyce, would you pray for Barbara Cravens right now?
Jesus, so we lift up your name and we thank you, Lord, that you forgive all our sins and heal all.
Yes.
All
our
diseases. And when I come against the spirit of fear,
yes.
For you've written in your word that fear has torment. So we come against the spirit of fear and all those names that have exalted themselves, those words, cancer, and all of those. Those weapons that are formed against us and stand hostile to us, Lord, we just lift up the shield of faith.
Yes.
That does quench all those fiery darts. And Lord, I ask you to save and sanctify and cleanse and make her every way whole.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your word. You said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will raise up a standard. So Lord, we just lift up that shield of faith.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you, Lord, for your promises that no weapon
yes.
formed against us will prosper.
Hallelujah.
And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we will show it to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For this is the heritage. This is our inheritance.
Yes.
In you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are greater. Greater part of that is in us. Than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name.
Mm.
Jesus' name. I ask you to raise her up and
yes.
get yourself glory in this situation. And Lord, I lift up our ministers. I lift up our cats. Lord, I thank
yes.
you. I thank you, Lord, that he is like the sower that went out to sow the seeds. And Lord, I thank you for those good seeds that are sown in our lives. By our ministers. And Lord, I pray that we'll not allow the seeds to be stolen from our hearts and from our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to make us like an army, that we would join shoulder to shoulder and lift up your banner. Lord, thank you that your banner over us is love. And I thank you, Lord, for TK's testimony. And I thank you, Lord, that your arm is not shortened, that it cannot save, and you are able to raise up out of the sick bed those who fall down and get discouraged. And Lord, we just stretch out the arm of faith. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to take our friend to Ecuador. Lord, if that be what's needed, Lord, I ask you to give her peace.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And Lord, I ask for grace people, grace persons in each of the lives of our old parents. Oh, Father, you were so faithful to me with my parents that I could be there when they closed their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, I just thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just thank you that your arm is not shortened.
Yes.
And Lord, just give us the grace to walk through what you called us to walk through because you said you would. So I just put you in remembrance of all of that. And I just thank you, Lord. You quicken your word. quicken your word to us and make it alive to us, and it won't depart out of our mouths, just like you told Joshua.
Yes.
We are to meditate on these things, and then that gives us the good success. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Stir up the gift of faith in each of us, mm-hmm. Lord.
Amen.
That we just lift up our hands in behalf of all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Linda, Joe,
Witherspoon.
Thank you, Lord, for encouragement.
Oh, yes.
We just lift up
Hallelujah.
The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
On behalf of Joe.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I thank you for honoring her
yes.
and satisfying her with long life and showing her good days. Lord, we desire that you raise her up and make her able to come to the door and open the door for us. That the Lord, the desire of her heart, the desire that you put in her heart, that she could have a Bible as she puts it in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I ask you to restore, and restore her all the household, restore
yes.
her joy, her salvation. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that people that desire to minister to her will not be hindered. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We exalt you. Lord, we magnify you. We give you praise and thanksgiving, O Lord God. You are worthy. Worthy of praise and thanksgiving forevermore. We bless you, Lord God.
Oh, you said that it was your desire that people everywhere ought to pray. So, Lord, I lift up the president of this country. You didn't call us to criticize him. Lord, I just thank you that you called us to pray for him. Lord, I pray that the words that come out of his mouth this night will be edifying to your people. In Jesus' name. And give us hope. Give us hope again, Lord, that there could be a revival
yeah.
even in this land. And that our enemies, even those enemies, that one that I know as Pharmacia, drug abuse.
Mm.
I thank you, Jesus. You're greater than
Amen.
Drug abuse.
Yes.
You're greater. Greater are you that is in us. Greater. Yes.
Yes.
And be men of God. We just break down that effeminate spirit that
yes.
would just demasculine. We just pull down that spirit of Jezebel in our nation, Lord. We just raise up the name of Jesus. You're a mighty man, Lord Jesus. Let you be high and lifted up and rightly adored. And the righteous won't any longer be afraid to speak up in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, I ask you to shut the mouths of fools in the Congress. They don't speak for us. If they speak unrighteousness and murder to the infants, they do not speak for us. Hallelujah. Not by might, nor by fire, but by your spirit. Raise up your people, Lord, that we be bold and mighty in you, not in ourselves. We've had enough of that already. Lord, just let us be bold.
Mm.
In the righteousness that you provide.
Oh, we just continue to lift up the judges too. We
yes.
the righteous judges. And Father, we ask for reversal. That once again, that you will pour out your spirit upon this nation. One more time. Amen.
As it was with Samson.
Amen.
Lord, just raise up your people. That we be a mighty force in this nation. We not be afraid. Not be afraid of our shadow. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Jim Orchard and those that are traveling with them. And we pray for traveling mercies for them and the protection of them and cover them. And pray that their time will be edifying and that you will cleanse their food and they will be well and do not contact any diseases or bad food. And we just pray for restoration there and for just good godly fellowship with those as they assemble together. Edify each other and that God would be exalted in all of you. In our
fellowship with all of us that call upon your name out of your heart. God, I ask you to bring your people together, even in this congregation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And instead of us being afraid, that you to rise, Lord, to scatter your enemies. As we speak forth the word that we've heard, Lord, written on our hearts, thank you, Lord, you're raising up mighty men, and indeed, Lord, like you wrote in Corinthians, to our men, speak to their hearts, Lord, that they behave themselves as men. Mm-hmm. Pray ye like men, it says. Behave yourself like a man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And not be afraid to speak up. Lord, you know John, that John that testifies so often of what you're doing in his life. But I ask you to strengthen him and send forth your word and continually just amplify and multiply what's been given to him. Just like you said in your word, Lord. To him who hath, even more shall be given. So Lord, even as he stands up to speak, Lord, I ask you to open and give him insight into your work that he never had before. Hallelujah. Lord, lead him in a way that he won't stumble. Father, I pray for Jerry Baldridge. I ask you to encourage him,
yes,
and give him hope. Send help to him. Make a way for him,
yes,
where there is no way. And I just come against that hopelessness and anything that would make him turn back to the old life.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that that door is closed and he will see it closed and he'll go forward with hope like a cat released from the stall, that he'll be able to rejoice in what you have done. Lord, I thank you that the door of depression is closed,
yes,
to her.
She just, yes,
doesn't go there.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And for our brother Joe Salazar, Lord, we lift him up. Thank you, Lord God, that you set him on the right path. And we just thank you, Lord God, that he shall be strengthened and not be hindered in any way by the enemy to draw back, but Lord, to in fact press on and to press forward because he knows the love of God. And Father, those things which have hindered him in the past have no authority over him in the future. In the name of Jesus, you have given him hope and a future. And we give you praise that Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And Father, we thank you right now that the enemy desires to sift him as wheat. Just take him back. Well, you're one of my good ones. I really do get to use you a lot. No, in the name of Jesus. We say, no, no more. In the name of Jesus, this is a free man. A free man to worship and serve the Lord Jesus. Father, and not be taken back captive. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
That they will fret not over what they face, and will they see your salvation in the land of the living? Thank you, Father, for your word that goes forth, and your word is brighter than all the tormenting things that come to steal our young, even to steal our young people, and to steal their thoughts and their minds and their young lives, and to make them ineffective. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you're raising up a deliverer,
Father, I pray right now for everyone in the body of Christ that has had to listen to the worldview and label them as depressed or schizophrenic or bipolar or attention disorder deficit or post-traumatic stress disorder or anxiety disorder or any of those disorders that the world would like for the body of Christ to believe, rather than believing that they have the mind of Christ, that we have the mind of Christ, and that we have a mind that is sound, and that is free from fear, and that is filled with love. And Father, I just pray right now that you tear down that kingdom that Satan has tried to build in the body of Christ's mind, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that brings order into our minds instead of disorder. I thank you, Lord, we're not schizophrenic or double-minded, but we think on the things of your word. And Lord, I just come against that assault in our nation to keep us from meditating on the truth. In Jesus' name, Lord, you are greater. You are greater. Lord, open our eyes that we would see you high and lifted up and rightly adored.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Just not give place to the devil. Hallelujah. And we do not give him our children.
Yes.
We do not.
Yes.
We do not. I thank you, Lord, for that promise that all our children shall be disciples, taught of you and obedient to your will. So with all that we have, what we give you, our children, they will be disciples. They will be discipled by your Spirit. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And there will be a turning of the fathers and the turning of the children, just like you wrote in Malachi, that, oh Lord, that the hearts would be turned in the families, and no longer would the fathers be portrayed as fools, and we won't just look at it on that TV box that just makes a father into a fool. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that your blessings are eternal, and we'll not curse ourselves by cursing our father. Jesus.
Heavenly Father, I just come before you and ask that this body of believers and that all of your children will grow to hate the world, the things of the world, not the people. We need to love the people in this world. But the things in this world, the pride of life, the pride of the lust of our eyes. Lord, let us behold you so much that we will grow dim to the world. We won't be enticed. We won't be seduced. We won't be constantly running to the world. The world has no answers. They have no answers. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the truth. And you are the life. You are the only life worth living. The rest of it is a lie. And, oh, Father, just quicken us with this. Let us know that we're just chasing after the wind when we pursue the world and anything of it. Let us grow sick and tired of TV, sick of movies, sick of everything the world has to offer. And Lord, the image of the world, the image they try to put on us, their image, let us turn our backs on that. The only image that we should be concerned with is the precious image of our Son. Change us into His likeness. Change us into His image. That's the only image. The image we try to present of ourselves is ridiculous. It's a waste of time. It's pretense. It's illusion. The only image is one of our beautiful Savior, the beauty of His holiness. The world grows dim. Even the most beautiful sunset grows dim when we behold the beauty of the holiness of our Savior. Let us crave that, Lord. Let us crave that. Let us stay on our faces before you, repenting of our sins, thanking you, praising your holy name, and lifting up this precious name, the name above all names. No other name should be enough above His name. He is the only name that's worthy to be proclaimed, worthy to be worshipped, worthy to be adored. Let us stay on our knees and worship this name, this image, this man that came for us. He loves us. Let us love him with all of our heart. Let us fervently learn how to love him. Love our Christian brothers and sisters, and love those people out there in the world that don't know you. Let that be the agenda of the day. Not what's on TV, not what movie to rush see, not what outfit to go buy. Let those things just die in us.
Mm.
Those are not important. They're just dying. And let us die with that. Let us just be lifted up in you. As we lift you up, Father, you will lift us up. You lift us out of darkness. I know that, Father. I praise you and thank you that you lift us up out of the darkest places. I praise and worship your Holy
Name.
You know, I have a prayer, and I'm holding that prayer back because I'm so fearful that my prayers won't sound so beautiful. And Lord, I pray that you forgive me for that, because I see a throng of our children, our husbands, our loved ones. They're all on the outskirts, Lord, wanting to come in, but they're caught by the world. And I pray in the name of Jesus that by your Spirit, by your love, you begin to draw them in. And I thank you for it, because I see it happening. You are going to draw them in, Lord. And I thank you for the work that you're completing in this group here, Father God, that love and that deliverance and that light's going to come forth so bright that they're going to want what we have, and they're going to begin to throng in. I see it, Lord, and I thank you for your power and your Spirit, that we ask in the name of Jesus that you would draw them in a powerful way, Lord. And I thank you that they're coming. They're coming, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 40, verse 25, it starts, to him, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. Now listen. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who has created these things that brings out their host by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one fails. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, like this? My way is hid from the Lord, and my justice is passed over by my God. My way is, God doesn't see me. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths, who should be strong, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Why do you say that your way is hid from the Lord, and that justice has passed you by? No, No. Do you not know? Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is not faint and He's not weary? So if you wait on Him, even though everything else, you're weak. You're just at the end of it. That's the best place to be. Oh no, it's awful. No, in fact, that's when God's strength begins. When your strength runs out. When you're pooped. You're just done. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit right now. Thank you, Lord, that your strength is mighty. This is one of Janet's favorite ones. Is that He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. No might. He increases strength. There's a song a good friend of ours wrote, and I'd like to sing a little bit of it to you. It talks about my hope to be changed lies in Him. It said, my hope to be changed lies in You, Lord, my hope. To be changed lies in You. From glory to glory, from faith to faith, my hope to be changed lies in You. So I will praise You with my might, and I will say You're my delight, for I know that God is good. And I will praise You with my might, and I will say You're my delight, for I know that You have given hope to me. My hope to be changed lies in You, Lord. My hope to be changed lies in You. From glory to glory, from faith to faith, Lord, my hope to be changed lies in You. If you can sing it. And I will praise You with my might, and I will say You're my delight, for I know that God is good. And I will praise You with my might, and I will say You're my delight, for I know that You have given hope to me. Father, there's no hope for us to be changed apart from You. There's no hope to be changed apart from You. We thank You, Lord. I'll praise You with my might, and I will say, You're my delight. You're my delight. You are my delight. And I'll say it. I'll not just think it, but I'll say it. I thank You that the things we say that come out of our mouth, Lord God, the things that we hear coming out of our own lips, our declaration, our establishing, when we speak Your word in our own hearing, in the face of every obstacle, in the face of every imagination, every vain imagination, we speak Your word rather than the apparent problem and difficulty and the attack of the enemy. We rather speak Your word and Your finished work and Your promise which You have made. To whom will we liken You? Or to whom shall You be equal? Are our problems equal to You? No. No. Our problems are zero, nothing. Because we have been delivered by a mighty hand, by a mighty God, not just the problems that we've seen today, but the ones that might potentially show up tomorrow. The ones the enemy says, hey, I'm bringing something that bringing you a surprise in the next few days. No, no. That surprise is nowhere equal to the grace and the power whereby we have been delivered and saved. We have no fear of what may come. I will have no fear of what man shall do. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As the apostle said, behold their threatenings. They have no power. So we choose now to rejoice, even in the face of vain threats from the enemy and from our own vain imaginations, anxieties and worries. And we declare that they are nothing in the face of our God and His promise that all of our needs are supplied, that our families are blessed, our children are cared for. We're rejoicing. We choose to rejoice, even in the face of every attack, 70 times 7, just as we forgive, we rejoice. How many times do I have to rejoice? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known. Let your establishment, your fixedness, your unmovableness be known to all men. Be displayed before all men. And with supplication and prayer, let your requests be made known unto God, not with fear and complaints, but with prayer and thanksgiving, letting your supplications be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. When we could have feared, we rejoice. When we could have complained, we rejoice. Because we know that God is good. And that you have given hope to us. Father, I thank you for the power of this meeting, this joining together of the saints of God. And we worship you. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the prayer. Thank you for this time of fellowship together, that we don't come together just to, there's nothing else better to do, but this is power. This is the power of God. And Father, we thank you that these meetings will not dissipate, but they will in fact increase. Gathering together, the more we see the day approaching. Not gathering together because somebody called a meeting, but gathering together because you've called us to do so. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank for the men in this body taking up the mantle of leadership. you're setting them in place. To minister the word, to minister in prayer, to minister the power of God. Discipleship. Maturing. Young men, old men to young men. Older women to younger women. Not depending on a pope, but honoring the gifts of God as they've been placed in the body. Through Romans, through 1 Corinthians, through Ephesians. All of these are gifts to the body.